Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Today's Power Lunch is brought to you by The Palm at Tyson's Corner, Virginia. Sure, The Palm is great for a fancy night out, but it's also the perfect midweek spot for a lunch with a client, or lunch to catch up with a friend, or maybe even to do an interesting podcast like this. Power Lunch menu selections at The Palm start at $26 for an appetizer, meal, and dessert. Book your reservation today directly at thepalm.com, open table, or by calling them at 703-917-0200.
I can make most anything on the menu except
whatever you got is fine.
I'm going to say some bad words. You're just going to have to deal with it.
PB&J with the crusts cut off. Well, Brian, this is a very nutritious lunch.
Hey, you got enough money to pay for all this? You know, money, cash, dollars, dinero.
So what I believe you were trying to say is thank you.
Thank you?
You're welcome. What can I say?
It's Sunday morning and you said fillet. You were like, I'm tired of Vital filleting Duke. And I'm just like, you know, there's people going to church right now, Naki. Come on.
Nobody's going to church. No lightning is striking.
No lightning is striking? Okay. Yeah. Mr. X, good to see you. How are you?
Thanks. All right.
Yeah, thanks. Sound great to be here. Can I give you an etiquette lesson on life for a second?
Sure.
Okay. Got? So we set this lunch up, right, Naki? And yeah. I have to email you side off to the side going, hey, Buck Hance can't make it today, but Mr. X can. Are you still cool with Mr. X? Because you're like, why would we be sideways, right?
Yeah.
No. Look at Mr. X's face. He's like, what do you mean by this?
I love doing this with Naki.
Well, sometimes people have falling outs.
Oh.
Well, we used to be somewhat
neighbors. We don't care about each other enough to fall out.
Come on. We'd have to have a relationship to begin with.
Okay, well, I'm just checking on that.
No,
so anyway,
that's all good, man.
So we set it up for noon, right? Mm-hmm. And then Mr. X says, yeah, I should be able to make it. I've got a social security meeting that's at 10:30 down in Alexandria. And I'm like, bro.
No, I said I should be right at noon. I didn't know if there was flexibility.
When you say I'm going to be somewhere at a time, that's where you leave it.
Yeah.
Don't introduce us to your drama on the front end, because now I'm thinking, well, he may not be here at noon. I better push the flight back to 12:30. Am I wrong about that?
When you asked me, I didn't say yes first. I said, yes, I can make it, but noon's going to be right at kickoff. Very close.
But that was after we had already said it, though.
I didn't think
when
so.
I said noon, I you're so. Like, cool, I'm in. And then it was, could be late.
I don't think the noon was in the first text.
You don't think so?
I think the noon was in the second text, and that's when I responded with,
oh,
it's tight. When you said, can you do it Tuesday, I said, you bet. When you said noon, I said, tight.
All right.
So I got here at 12:10, so I'm glad you pushed.
Way
you
ahead
got,
of me,
you
man.
Got here way early.
Way ahead of me.
Good for you. Yeah, that quick Social Security meeting only took 2 hours.
It took 2 hours.
It was for my dad, so I had to schedule it 5 months ago.
All right, this is good. I love that we've gotten off to a nice saucy start here.
Let's go.
Yeah, we're hot right now. Can we talk perfect bracket for a second? Because my feeble mathematical brain, Mr. X, got to spinning like a hamster on a wheel about this. You know that Kalshi, the prediction market, is offering $1 billion. $1 billion if somebody can pick the perfect bracket. 64 for 64. Now, Kalshi is worth $11 billion.
Yeah, so it's a...
So, you know...
The money's in the couch cushions.
The money's in the couch cushions. Also, I think the odds are something like 1 in 920 billion to pick it perfectly correct. I've equated it to a contest where you win $1 billion if you can take a quarter and throw it onto the moon. Good luck. Yeah. Ah, you'll wear your arm out trying to do it. Okay, so now Mr. X is furiously typing away.
I was going to figure out the odds.
You're going to figure out the actual odds?
And it said E to the something. It came off the...
Okay, so here's what went through my mind. I was like, wait a minute. The true odds, if it's 50-50 on every game, may be one in X billion dollars. But the games are not 50-50.
Right.
Correct. All the 16 ones are 99 to 1. Right?
99.9 probably at this point, right? I mean,
yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so that tends to skew the odds,
of course,
a little bit lower. But here's the wrinkle I had never considered. Because you're trying to pick the perfect bracket, when a 13 seed goes on a rampage and beats a couple other teams, it probably wipes out all that advantage anyway, because you would otherwise be picking the heavily favored team to win that game. Does that make sense?
I think if I understand it right, you're saying it's really hard.
No, I'm trying to figure out the math of it. I thought you would be engaged on the math front. Does that make sense?
That
you know, when you're talking about what are the true odds if every game is not 50-50 and you're getting a nice flyer downwind on the early matchups, all it takes is one big upset to ruin your bracket.
All it takes. So history shows, too, that occasionally there will be a team from the play-in games that will win multiple games.
Yes, and VCU was one.
That just blows everything up.
Right.
So, yeah, VCU made it to the Final Four from, yeah.
So, all right. So what did the DC Coaches podcast? No, you would put it up to the mic.
Okay.
Since you involved
it
up to the mic.
As a... Thinking of what you said, as I said, all right, throw out the first two rounds. Let's just say you're smart as Naki and you can go 32-0.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's easy.
Because I'm going 32-0.
Yeah. So even starting then, if you then say the last 15 games are close to 50-50.
Yeah.
You got a 1 in 32,000 chance. If you're 32-0 already.
If you're 32-0.
You're already 1 in 32,000.
Then you're down to 1 in 32,000. On 50-50 balls.
On the last 15.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
According to my friend Siri.
I mean, look, it's a silly contest. No one's ever going to be perfect. The question is, how chalky will this year's tournament be? By the way, I learned where the term comes from. Do you, Mr. X, gambling aficionado, know where the term chalk comes from?
Actually, I do.
Illuminate us.
Go ahead.
Sure. Well, this is my version. You might have found something different. In the old days, when bookmakers had to write everything on a chalkboard,
yep,
you list the favorite,
yep,
minus 7.
Yep.
So if you bet the favorite, you were betting the chalk.
And
if you
also
bet the underdog, it wasn't chalked.
Right. They said in horse racing, the favorites would get bet a lot in horse racing.
Yes.
So they were constantly erasing it and rewriting it, hence very chalky.
Yep. Chalky.
Okay. Yep. Do you know that Jay Williams has picked the 1 and 2 seeds for two straight years now on ESPN? Somebody tweeted a screenshot of last year and this year saying, this is why they pay Jay Will the big bucks.
Just another.
What do you make of that? Do you think he's just phoning it in? Or truly convicted that the top 8 teams are really the top 8
so
teams?
So you're going to roll your eyes at this day because you and I sort of go, I'm a little... The Duke thing is completely pervasive in.
Yeah, come on in. Yeah. We're going to order. Alex is here to take care of us at the home as we are here on another power lunch. Alex, how are you, my friend? We're in the back big room. This is the big governor's room because our normal little bar side cozy private room is being used.
Who took that room?
Hey, listen, we're fine. They're having an event there, okay? This is where the biggest deals go down, right?
Until today.
Until today. Nothing big going down. Okay. I know what I like on the Power Lunch menu, as always. Lobster bisque and then the filet medium rare with a splash of fries, no vegetables. Splash, not the full bore. There you go.
I'm going to go the exact same thing with, can I get some béarnaise on the side?
Oh, béarnaise sauce.
And a Diet Coke, please. Yes. Thank you.
I will also do the same, except for the fry thing. What's the vegetable that comes normally?
Green beans.
Oh.
Is there some Brussels sprouts, some sautéed spinach, Bellini sautéed spinach?
Yes, please.
Medium rare as well, sir?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. And we're good to go. So you were saying about the Duke thing. gnocchi.
So it's not enough that you get. So I was kind of focused on the ACC for a while, ACC tournament. Jay Williams' first night was everywhere, all the time. Then you get Jay Billis doing the SEC tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's not enough. We get Grant Hill doing the Big Ten tournament. Make it stop. Then they trot out Dick Vitale for the finals of the ACC when he hadn't been there the whole week.
No, he just went back to broadcasting in February. Guy's been battling cancer for 4 years.
I thought he
was there. Well, and I heard him during the Duke game. I was like, sounds like Vitale.
It was Vitale, a raspy, struggling Vitale. And most of the analysis was left up to Corey Alexander, who did a pretty good job with that. But
where's he from?
They now, former Wong.
Yeah. So at any rate, the only thing better than what is to come here this weekend is what happened last weekend, because there was game after game after game of right down to the wire.
Right.
Some games, in the words of Ken Beatrice, some games were won, some games were lost.
More games are lost rather than won. Mark my words, Christopher.
So watching Yale ruled the Ivy League. They're up 3:06 to play. Penn has the ball. You simply take a foul.
Foul.
Don't let anybody squeeze off a three. They did. They called timeout, 6 seconds left. I'm thinking, okay, they're going to foul.
First of all, Yale called a timeout for Penn, essentially, to let them set up a play.
But the guy took four, and the guy had 40 points at that point. How do you let him catch the ball? Secondly, you got to smack him. Just don't let him get the
either
shot.
Foul him or run a small guard underneath, buzz him to try to pick his pocket or get him to give the ball up or something.
You have to foul. So the guy squares up, he takes a three, and I just walked away. Like, I don't even need to see. I don't need to see it going. Let me go grab some chicken wings for overtime. Because, you know, when you make a mistake, and that game is, and Penn ends up coming back and winning
the
game in overtime. And that brings to mind something we talked about on your local show. If you're a mid-major conference, you are screwing the team that struggles for 3 months to win your conference. And then you force them to play in a conference tournament where everybody's vulnerable.
Right.
Navy won the Patriot League by 6 games.
I know.
And they got bounced in the semifinals.
Semis, yeah. That was a dagger right there.
Yeah. Yale. Same thing. Belmont.
Okay. So.
And none of those tournaments make money. It's not like you're doing it to make money.
No, of course not. But, you know, these tournaments exist because the leagues, I guess, like them. If they don't make money, why don't mid-major leagues do away with them?
One of the things that the mid-majors do, which I like, is they do, if you're going to play them, you got to give the higher seeds the advantage of playing. You know, generally they play it on a home court.
Okay.
Now the Ivy League doesn't do that. The Ivy League rotates.
Sure.
So they played that game, strangely enough, at Cornell.
That is weird.
Penn and Yale should play at Cornell, right? And for the championship. So. I do like the fact that you do get something out of it, but it didn't help Navy.
No,
it
did not.
They lost at home.
Yeah. So why don't then these mid-majors say our bid is going to our regular season champion, and we're going to have a tournament where we're going to play for a trophy and a box of Uncrustables.
Attaboy. And an attaboy.
Yeah, like they could do that if nobody's going to them.
I think it's honestly, it's become part of the fabric. I think it's just, it's one of those things that's kind of where we are. And I don't know that, you know, coaches have more clout than they ever use. Like I think they do. And I think they need to get much more involved in things like this. But again, you got so many other things to worry about when you're coaching that maybe this isn't priority number one.
Mr. X Williams.
Now this may be old school, but I always believed the original reason for the tournament winner, not the regular season, was it's like the final exam. You get better all year if you're well coached. You might have injuries during the year. Who's playing better at the final exam, not all year during class? And if my team gets better, who cares how many games I lost in November?
Well, what's the better test? How good you are over 3.5 months or how good you are over 3 days?
Well, if I played on your team, I would expect to get better all year and be better at the end of the year, and that's what counts.
But it's an episodic one moment in time in a neutral venue.
You may have had injuries during the year, so you got better. But conversely, I may have a guy out for that three-game tournament, even though I kicked your ass during the course of the season.
Then you don't want to move on because he's missing. I just always think of Derek Wittenberg, you know, missing the whole year and then coming back in the last 2 weeks of the year, and they roll through.
Well, I know this viscerally, boys, from a long ago lifetime when I was the voice of the UC Santa Barbara Gauchos, and a 20-win Jerry Pym coach team rolled down to the Big West tournament as the 2 seed behind UNLV and got bounced by those fuckers from UC Irvine in a mostly
the Anteaters.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. They got bounced by UC Irvine in a mostly empty Long Beach arena at 1 p.m. And it was so devastating. We're like, fuck, we are out of the tournament. And we drove, you know, the team went back home up the coast to Santa Barbara, and our SID, Bill Mahoney, said waiting on his fax machine was travel and hotel accommodations for one of the sub-regionals for which we were not going. All we had to do was win one fucking game. But it was a weird time. It was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, yeah. Empty arena, neutral site, and they played like shit, and they lost to the Anteaters. Out!
I have tried to describe and articulate the finality of losing a game like that, yeah. where it is lightness and then just darkness, and you are done, and there's nothing more to your season. Who was on that UNLV team, by the way?
I mean, that was the star team. That was the Anderson Hunt, Greg Anthony, Stacey Ogman, George Eccles.
Grandmama was on that team. Larry Johnson.
Larry Butler. It was a freaking phenomenal team. Yeah. Gauchos were the last team to beat them before they went on an 18-month rampage through college basketball that included one of the all-time games, which was them against Arkansas.
And Nolan Richardson,
The 40 minutes of hell, just a December non-con game for television. They're like, yeah, we'll come play at your place. Fucking amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, so tournament's going to be good. Are you excited for it, both you guys?
Yeah, of course. Nothing better than sitting in my chair for 13 hours straight, 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
And then when the games are over about 1 a.m., I have to hop on the computer and write up the next day. So I go to bed at like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Sounds like you're whining, Mr. X.
No, it's as great a weekend as it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Naki, how about you? It's like a busman's holiday for you.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. And you know, I have a lot of friends who are still coaching involved and guys that I've gotten to know. And so, you know, I have some rooting interests as well. So it's good. You know?
Yeah. Okay, good.
It's exciting.
I also like the fact that this is one event now. This is something in sports, and somebody made this point. It was a good point. They said, thank God Netflix hasn't gotten their hooks into the college tournament. Oh. That even though there is an app for March Madness, and it's free, which is great, you can otherwise still watch it on basic TV.
If you have True TV. Once a year,
that's true.
True TV?
Somebody had a chart, like number of people that watch True TV by choice versus randomly. There's a big spike
in
March.
It's a destination
basically.
In March.
Yeah. So, and I do like that part about it. So that's good. And, you know, the bracket, it's hanging on by a thread at 68. I know you, Naki, and others in the game wanted expanded. Are you still an expanded further guy?
I don't think it's going to happen ever because, for instance, the bubble is just so weak this year. It's not like you had a lot of viable teams like, oh, they got screwed. Who is out there bitching about getting screwed at this point in time?
Nobody.
Really. Yeah.
So is Pearl. That's about it.
Well, I'm assuming we're going to get to Coach Pearl.
We're going to get to Coach Pearl in a second here, but yeah. So, go ahead.
No.
So the bubble is weak. It was weak this year, but it could be strong in years to come. You don't know.
Well, it could be. And then the pendulum swings back, you know, in terms of the thought and maybe the consensus, or at least the argument to increase it to another day.
How would you do it? If you were to expand, how would you do it? I'd love to hear that answer.
Well, you're making me, between the talk about the the perfect bracket, you're making me feel like Pythagoras here. Like, okay. I need to break up my...
But haven't you heard from people, coaches, and ADs, like, here's how we would do it?
Most people talk about going to 96, you know, because you still have the top quartile, right? I mean, right. There are 360 Division I teams.
The plans I've heard is you basically extend it forward into the conference championship week.
Yeah.
And make that a prelude as part of the actual tournament.
Correct. I just don't think, at this point in time, I don't think that there's much consensus for it aside from coaches. And you know who needs to make the decision is TV. You know, the TV runs that whole thing, and it's what is that TV contract worth now?
A lot. And I think it's inked for quite a while.
There are a lot of commas. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now here's a take that will never happen, and I think I'm alone on this island. But in my day, back in college, every team was in the tournament. And you can quickly go to, 256? Every team was in the tournament.
When was this?
Early 70s. It's just what that rounds tournament? 1, 2, and 3 were your conference tournament.
Oh, okay.
And the champion moved on. And right. Then you had a soft round or two in the NCAA.
Well, that's a fair point. Now, that left
but
out.
But you were in it. Every team was in it. And then when the conference champ goes on, maybe, but the best teams aren't in the finals 32. So what? The best teams played already.
Sure.
Because you can't have, every top 20 team playing number 300. So you group them by conference, and then the one comes out and you used to win the ACC, and then you'd go play, DePaul or somebody that wasn't good, and you'd have one or two rounds that were soft. So instead of having your two soft rounds in the beginning, you had your soft round later after you beat Maryland and Carolina, and you had the hard games first and then the soft ones instead of vice versa. But those were first round matchups, in a sense, in the conference that had a lot of, I know it'll never happen, but it is the format that works.
Did you ever
see it? Just takes the money out of the NCAA and moves it to the conference.
Yeah, well, that's.
Did you ever see the classic article and video from The Onion? NCAA expands March Madness to include 4,096 teams.
That's funny.
Did you ever see this?
No, I didn't.
You haven't?
Just the.
Oh, my God. This is as good as any spoof we'll get. Let's make sure that the audio is up. Oh, I haven't hit play yet. Here we go.
Get ready for more madness. The NCAA has announced it's expanding the men's college basketball tournament to include 4,096 teams. We'll separate the contenders from the pretenders in this hot and sweaty edition of the Steam Room.
Steam Room. This is the Steam Room, where only the strongest opinions can stand up to the heat. Alongside OSN college basketball analyst Joe Monticello, I'm Tim Devan, and Joe, welcome to the Steam Room. You ready to sweat out some answers?
I'm ready, Tim.
Then close the door before the steam gets out. Steam Room begins now. Joe, this is a good move for the NCAA.
Great move, Tim. I love this idea. There are just so many quality teams out there that lost a tough game, couldn't get over that 5-win hump, or haven't even played a game yet this season.
And it's great that the league finally let them all in. Now, Division II and III schools will be let in for the first time ever. Is this going to bring down the level of play?
Absolutely not. Arkansas Tech had a great year. So did Flagler. So did Emporia State.
Let's turn up the heat and talk about Eckerd.
Look out for Eckerd. They got a full roster, and they're having practices.
So the league then will get to air next for a couple thousand games, and we're going to get college hoops all the way through June.
June madness.
I like
Are you kidding me? It's great. I mean, but this is really for the fans.
Sure.
I mean, they get to watch up to 500 games a day on OSN2 and OSNU.
Time for some predictions. The Central Kansas region's got 300 technical and vocational colleges. Who's your pick for the 637-678 matchup?
Well, I have to tell you, I really like the Online University of Liverpool.
You think they can take the region?
No. I think that's going to go to the Xenon International School of Hair Design.
Oh, the old town at Topeka was crazy for Xenon International.
Unfortunately, they lost their star player, Cody Beek, last year. He graduated and became a barber. But they still have a very talented core, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see them show up in the Fantastic 512 or maybe even the Tremendous 256.
All right.
So you get the point
there. Very good.
At some point, it's too much, and we don't need it. All right. Who do we like overall? Just give me your gut feel of the top teams. Who is the most fadeable of the top, say, 8 teams?
You want to go ahead?
He's scrambling for his homework. You know, I found up something interesting while you're looking this up. I didn't know that Arizona shot so few threes.
They play much like an old school. Yeah, they play a lot of mid-range. They get great guard play, and there's big time inside.
Oh, yeah. But part of me says, like, in today's day and age, if you can't shoot threes, you're not going to win this thing. But they are now immune to three-point variability.
Yeah.
Because on the night where you're not hitting them, that's when you get flushed down the river.
Arizona, I'll jump in. Arizona It's hard to go against Duke. They're sitting there with two guys out, and they still – I thought Virginia looked so good.
Poor bastards. Now they only got six five-star guys.
Yeah. But and when you talk about who they're missing, you say, oh, I'm not taking Duke. Look who they're missing. You're like, well, wait, who's playing? You know, counts who's playing.
All right, let's get the injury update. Caleb Foster is one of their guys who is out.
Patrick Ngongwa.
Okay, so Ngongwa is N-G-O-N-G-B-A. This influx, by the way, of African-born players is both amazing. I know that Virginia, your daughter's team, has one of them who's a great shot blocker.
Yep.
Oh, man, he was
But, you know, funny. The decision to send basketball emissaries down to the continent with a few orange pumpkins and a hoop has paid huge dividends.
And you don't need IDs anymore. It doesn't matter how old you are. Come on.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, some of these guys, too, like Ugo down at the kid down at UVA, I mean, he's sent here by himself at 14 years old. You know, I mean, these guys sacrifice to get good, and they're an amazing story. And Ngongwa, by the way, is a huge difference maker if he's available for Duke. It gives them a presence.
So Foster is a guard, right? And Ngongwa
is the seven-footer.
Is the seven-footer. Okay, so that would be a reason to fade Duke? Possibly. Possibly.
I think fade. So, like, Michigan. So when I saw Michigan in December, they were the single best Big 12 team I've ever seen. Our Big Ten team.
They were a juggernaut early.
They rolled everybody. They were so good. They lost a point guard to injury.
Right.
And they're just not playing like they were in November and December. And now Maryland's been in the Big Ten for 12 years now. They're the best top to bottom that I've ever seen. But, man, they played three really close games in Chicago this weekend. Ended up losing to Purdue. Like, to me, Scott's point, they're not playing well at the worst possible time.
Right. Okay.
They were so great early.
In addition to the guard who's out is Kaysen.
Kaysen.
Yes. Yeah. LJ Kaysen.
LJ Kaysen.
Okay. But they also, this guy, Yaxel Lendenborg.
Yeah, player there in the Big Ten.
Okay. First of all, what's his deal? Where does the name Yaxel?
Well, he's
Y A X E L.
So he's a transfer from UAB. Could have gone. He was in. He's on everybody's NBA list last year.
But where is he from? Saturn?
No.
Yaxel.
Listen to him talk. He's
American as apple pie. I mean, he looks like just a
And I have heard
regular dude.
I've heard that Michigan paid him $7 million.
Get out of here.
Now, I don't know if it's seven, but it's an easy $4 or $5 million.
Sure.
So that's more than an NBA draft pick would make where he was going to be slaughtered.
Okay, I get it. He is part Dominican.
Yeah.
So that's where you get some of these interesting, twists on names.
I don't think he played in high school. Played it, as a junior college kid. And
Here it is. Michigan star Yaxel Lendenborg says Kentucky offered $7 to $9 million in NIL.
Yeah.
So
I'd take the nine.
You're all about the money.
Well, I mean, Kentucky spent well.
All right, Mr. X, faders.
Faders in the top eight?
Yeah.
I guess I'd have to say UConn just because that bracket.
Does the loss to Marquette shake your faith? Does getting wiped out by St. John's shake your faith, even though they did it to St. John's earlier in the year?
Well, no, it does matter. That's, you said who to fade. That's why.
Okay.
Yeah. For those reasons.
Okay.
Just basically that bracket, which, my gosh, I did this thing yesterday off the top of my head, not getting into data and silly records and championships, but if you just named the top 10 programs in the last, 20, 30 years, seven of them are in that region. It's, we call it blue blood or whatever you call it. That, not only if there's four or five coaches in that region that have all been Final Four, there's seven programs that are easily seven of the top 10. They just loaded that. And I included Indiana in the top 10, even though I know they're a football school now, but I counted them as one of 10. But so that's why I
feel like it's Houston's year. I feel like this is it.
There's one problem with that.
What's the problem with Houston?
I love Houston. I picked them last year. They didn't win, right?
They did not win.
Yeah. No, they came close.
But, they're the classic. I hate to use that cliche, but they're the punch you in the mouth, really play as tough physical for 40 minutes. And the first time they played Arizona this year, it was almost like they looked at Arizona like, wait, we're supposed to be intimidating you guys. And Arizona was just the other way around. They bullied them.
Bullied them.
And they've bullied them three times now. And okay. they've bullied them three times. So you want to take Houston in the fourth? Go ahead. I'll stick on the other side.
Okay. All right, let's.
I do like, I mean, who do you like? I don't think Houston is nearly as good as they were last year, but they could still get to the Final Four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. They're good enough to do that.
All right. So who do you like?
I love Arizona.
Okay.
I like Michigan to get to the Final Four. I would probably go, and interesting what Scott said about UConn. One of the stories about the selection show, I thought, was how the Big East was devalued.
Oh, they dissed the Big East.
How about the look on Patino's face when they said five seed?
Yeah. And they shipped him out. It was like he swallowed a fistful of tacks.
So three teams got in, right? Villanova got a terrible draw.
Well, here's what's dumb. So they over-rewarded Purdue for winning the Big Ten tournament, and they dismissed St. John's for winning the Big East tournament. So they should both matter. If you're going to say, well, this team made a run, give them some extra oomph on the seeding. But I guess the Big East was so bad this year.
Exactly. The bottom of the Big East was terrible. Ugh. Terrible. So Purdue still had to win. Purdue was a 7 seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now part of that is the gap between 2 and 8 was nominal.
Right.
You know, so, and I had this conversation with you the last time I was in your Buck or with Buck.
Yeah.
So the Big Ten should never have allowed, and I include Maryland, the last 4 teams to go in and do that play-in game because one had the chance to beat a bubble team in the next round. Indiana Hoosiers, come on down.
Why did
Northwestern beats them and knocks them completely out? They were in before that.
Right. Why did the Big Ten decide to do that?
Don't know. That's way above pay grade.
But to drag the bottom 4 teams out to Chicago to go, hey, we know you had a shitty season. You just want it to be over. But guess what? We're not done yet.
And they got unbelievably lucky because Northwestern was one of the 4. And so that actually brings people into that first night. There would have been crickets in that building had it been, so Big Ten. And then Northwestern wins 2 games. Now, all of a sudden, you're careening into the weekend where you're guaranteed to get huge games because Illinois and Michigan and, Iowa, people come,
Speaking of the Big Ten, did you see where Rutgers, somebody did a Freedom of Information Act on them, on what they spend? They had the highest fireworks budget in the conference. They're $500 million in the hole at Rutgers.
Oh, it's awful.
Upside down.
Yeah, yeah.
And the budget showed like huge fireworks expenditures for football.
Oh my God, I did not see that. I saw that they were way upside down. I mean,
how do you get that far?
Dumpster fire. Yeah.
Poor management and or mob ties like Tony Soprano.
Where's that?
Probably an Italian family running the fireworks concession that's charging time and a half.
Vito.
For no show, no work jobs, right? Who knows? Right. Anyway, somebody did a FOIA on what every college basketball program spends, total spend. Indiana was number 1 at $32 million, counting everything, not just playing the players.
Mm-hmm.
But Michigan, I think, was 3rd.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are spending.
Oh, big time money, yeah.
How about this one in that matchup? Assuming St. John's and Kansas play in round 2, we got Patino and Bill Self.
It's good.
You see their career record against each other?
No.
What is it?
Somebody's 1-0. I forget which. They've played once.
They played once.
That's how they've never collided.
Yeah, that is kind of wild right there.
I don't remember who won, but I know they've only played once.
The trust issues with Kansas, it's really hard to want to saddle up with them at this point because of the whole ongoing Darren Peterson thing and the fact they scored 47 total, 47 in getting bounced from their conference tournament. Like, out of a hard time penciling Kansas more than 1 or 2 spots in.
Well, think about it from an NBA executive's point of view. Where you were 2 months ago on that kid as opposed to what you're thinking about right now.
Sure.
When he plays.
If you don't want to play in college when everyone plays every day, how are you going to do in load management when you're allowed to load manage?
Well, and the other thing is he's got other guys in college popping up all around him like this kid who's out for North Carolina, Caleb Wilson, played through a broken hand in a game.
Right.
You know, Acuff from Arkansas is
blowing up.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
And that, we haven't even talked about A.J. DeBonsa, who's a complete freak of nature.
Right. You know? The rest of the team around him is kind of weak, but he is the truth.
Well, and so the theory of relativity, relative to the rest of those guys, Peterson has taken steps backwards at right. this point in time.
Right. This is a question I was dying to ask. I thought of on the way over here. Okay. Well, I forget the kid's name on Kansas. The one who was like in the second half, like, nah, I'm good. And does some of the game. Yeah. Thinking back, not back to your day of coaching, Chris. Not, I don't care what happened in the 50s and 60s, but if you were coaching today and you go down the bench and the guy goes, no, I'm good, how does Coach Nocke handle that?
I would simply say, go fuck yourself. And you don't want to play? That's fine. I don't want
to
play.
It would be awesome for you to say that in your last year of coaching.
So how about this?
Because you'd be out.
I put myself, you know, one of my favorite guys on the planet is Gary Williams, right?
Yeah.
And so in this day and age, how does Gary handle it when a kid comes in and tells him he wants to go in the portal? Gary, I mean, I hate to think of what would come out of his mouth, you know, and Gary, knowing Gary, he would, the first thing he'd say is, who can I call? Because I don't want, you're not coming back here.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be happy dead to make to a call for you. Yeah, you're right. Dead to me.
Sure. You are, you're done now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Across the Godfather.
Yeah, he'd have that white coach in the corners of his mouth.
I think Gary would struggle in the NIL environment, to be honest. Like, that'd be my assessment.
Going out on a limb there.
Yeah, you've struggled a little bit with
NIL with him is like not in your lifetime.
I mean, what drove him crazy was the way that, you know, Calhoun was skirting the rules up at UConn back in the day. I mean, you know, that was driving him nuts because he was running an honest shop down at Maryland. He had to because he took over in the wake of the Len Bias thing. Well, he had to every step of the way walk a narrow line.
And one of the reasons why he left, or when he left, remember, the story was they were entertaining a recruit. The recruit had his trainer with him, and the trainer was, you know, the hangers-on. Well, now all these guys have their agents when they come in.
Oh, yeah.
Quick story as an aside. I was talking to Matt Painter, and Painter said, I've taken three transfers in 3 years. What do they all have in common? I said, I don't know. He said, none of them have an agent.
Oh.
I said.
So he won't take a transfer who's got an agent.
Yeah. Now, I love the guy, and I didn't.
Painter's a great coach. Painter and Guard in your league are two of the coaches.
Yeah, great guys too. And I believe Matt well enough. I don't have to check that, you know. And I'm sure that's
right. So. Well, we'll see how long that can last, because you know, as long as he keeps getting the Mr. Indiana basketball guys as his backcourt guys and have them stick around for 7 years or however long Fletcher and
the,
you know,
the continuity in that program is crazy.
Thank you. Look at that lobster bisque. Bisque. Oh, look at
just
it.
Just a little something that you threw together. Thank you very much.
Oh, man, that's so good. All right, let me play this while you dig into your soup there. Let me play this bite on Bruce Pearl, and then we can comment afterwards. This is Bruce Pearl with Dan Patrick, in which Dan Patrick thankfully asked the key question of, so you're still on the payroll, aren't you? At Auburn?
Absolutely, I did. As a dad, of course I did.
But you look at, are you paid by Auburn?
You know what? I'm in an ambassador's position, and that's a yes. Not many Jewish guys would walk away from $30 million, but this one did. And, you know, who does that? My wife was like, Honey, why couldn't you just stink for a couple of years, let them fire you, and pay you $10 million to do what you're doing now? But no, you go ahead and quit. Leave all that on the table. Dan, I objectivity for me, not an issue.
Okay. But I don't know if you have to disclose that, hey, I'm still paid as an ambassador for Auburn. If it felt like you were kind of dinging Miami, Ohio, because Auburn was going to be on the bubble. So that's the appearance. Okay. That's how a lot of people look. So the appearance of that, the optics didn't look good.
Well, that's fair, and it's certainly as a former Auburn basketball coach. What former coach or former athlete? You know, Charles Barkley roots for Auburn. He does, but Charles Barkley is always going to keep it real. But he was paid
at Auburn, not after Auburn.
All right, so there you go. Give me a quick thought on Bruce Pearl before we take a quick break here.
I find him engaging, but look at his past, and to think that this guy is the voice of college basketball now, what a quantum leap from Jay Wright to Bruce
it's a
Pearl.
huge downgrade in terms of class, respectability, and everything else. I mean, Bruce Pearl is a real slick talking, but he's got a layer of film on him. He's got a layer of ooze on him. Yeah. I mean, this guy once tape recorded a phone conversation with a recruit to rat on another program who was paying him under
Thomas
the table.
In Illinois. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how do you, and then of course at, you know, Tennessee, he was lying to the investigators, got them in deep, deep trouble. And he quit. You know, who walks away from $30 million? One, you didn't walk away from all of it because you're still being paid as a ambassador.
Yeah.
And you did it because you wanted to hand off the hardware store to your son.
Right.
To hopefully he would take it and run with it. Well, he has now tripped right out of the gate.
Credit Dan Patrick for the line of questioning.
Yeah. No, Patrick's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Asked him what he needed to ask. Okay. When we come back, there's a long article in the Atlantic magazine, Mr. X, about a writer who never gambled before, who has staked $10,000 by his magazine to become an NFL sports gambler, and then see how it turns out at the end of the season. It's a long article. It took me a half an hour to read it, and I read it a good level, Naki, like seventh grade. It's been tested. I'm a really good reader. It took me a half an hour to read it all. I've pulled some excerpts, but I'm going to get your guys' thoughts on that. Yeah. We're here at the Palm Power Lunching with Mr. X and Chris Naki right here on the Zapecast.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Cut.
That was damn good.
All right. That was good.
Damn.
It's like almost like the Palm knows what they're doing.
Wash it down with some cheesecake.
We will get some cheesecake on the way out. All right. So I think we've put to bed the Bruce Pearl thing. It is what it is. He's probably no worse than a lot of these guys. I mean, these are not at the highest level, the most paragon of virtuous men. They may be molders and leaders of young men's minds.
I will always have that thrown back at me, won't I?
But the pressure to win games is ever present, and it's relentless.
Yeah.
Kelvin Sampson, who I think is well-respected, also talked about the whole nepotism thing because he's got some family members on staff at Houston. And when he took the job, he first said, hey, what is it with your nepotism laws? How are we going to get around this? Because it's not like my family members are not qualified. They've been working in the business alongside or under me. Why can't I hire them? So what is your thought on how much nepotism is defensible?
Well, I think, and there's no requisite number of years that you have to be on the bench or anything like that. You can't, Mark Turgeon just got back into the game, right?
Did he?
He took the job at UMKC, the Kangaroos.
Okay, I did not see that.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why he took the job was he wanted to hire his son, Will, who was a college basketball player, Catholic, and then a D1, he was a D1 assistant at it, I think Eastern Washington or something like that. But Turge wanted to get back in the game, first of all, but he also wanted to coach with his son. And, you know, anybody who's coached for a long time will tell you that if you're hiring, make sure one of the things you want to make sure you're hiring people that are going to be very loyal to you.
To you. Blood being thicker than water.
And there you go. Yeah. And so I don't really have a problem with anybody being able to hire their kids. at all.
I mean, in the NFL, it's rampant.
Oh, yeah.
The nepotism of the NFL. I just wish I had a dad. And may you rest in peace, Super Sky Point Pops. I love you. But it would be nice if he was an NFL coach. Then I could have been in the NFL, like Kyle Shanahan's.
You could have been calling plays.
Fuck yeah, I could have been calling plays. People act like it's so, oh, my God, you got to be so smart. You got to be in football. This is calling That's a fucking worst. Screen.
That's your worst Tunnels. Take of all time.
No, it's not. It's my best take. You're too dumb to realize it.
Probably.
It's not that complicated. Okay. We're just not in the arena doing it. What do you think it takes to call plays in the NFL? How many dumb play callers do you think there have been in the NFL?
I think you are so minimizing to the people who do that job.
I didn't say I could walk in tomorrow. I said I'd take a full year of intensive training.
I think one of the things you minimize is how well you have to know defenses to call to call offense.
But I think you minimize how every play is a coin flip, because every play is a 50-50 shot of working or not in the NFL.
I think
it is with those guys, with you. That is a coin flip. It's like a three dice.
No, I'm telling you, it would
be. You don't think you improve your chances with the amount of experiences you have? And the
yes, know, marginally. I think it's very.
I'm so sorry I brought this
marginal.
Up.
Man. Well, okay. So the concept.
There are certain things we're going to agree to disagree on until the end of the time.
That's fine.
4-point shot. Okay.
You know what the hot argument is on the text thread with the guys, with one of our guys, Houston Scotty, is he's all pissed off because Jeremy Payne is going to be out a whole week of the regular season because of the finger he broke fielding a grounder in the WBC. And my buddy Scott hates the WBC, says, why are they doing this? Just getting guys hurt. He's still bitter over the Altuve injury, which was a longer injury the last time around. And my point was, well, he was a fielding a grounder. Like, yeah. Could have done that in practice, number one. But it doesn't matter, though. It was still the WBC. And then I said today, which got the whole thread up in arms, I said, so are they going to play without a shortstop? Or are they going to have another guy who is also a major leaguer? And that's when he went into orbit. Going, oh, yeah, sure. They're all-stars to you, Zabe. Oh, they're so plug and play.
So you just started up, man.
So, but my point is, I think Scott underestimates the marginal difference between the best, and Pena is really good, and the next guy who's going to be in there. Yeah. I already said, I go, I hope that the backup, I don't know who it is, has the hottest fucking week of his life.
Yeah.
Like, I hope he just rakes for a week so I can.
Well, he's going to Wally Pip him.
Back it up your ass. Okay, let's get to this gambling article. A writer for The Atlantic was staked $10,000 to gamble on the NFL for a season and then write about it, what it was like, what he did, everything else. The author's name is McKay Coppins. He's Mormon, which is wonderful. Mormons aren't allowed to gamble. He begins the article by saying he said he did. He went to his priest and said, you know,
it's not his money. He wasn't gambling.
Well, the priest reluctantly said, well, this is for your job. You're going to write about it and you are not subject to any losses. I guess it's okay. He gave a qualified blessing.
Okay. The first four priests he went to said no. Yeah, you just keep exactly. going until you find one.
But as soon as I found out, because this article's been making the buzz online, and I'm like, as soon as I found out that the author's Mormon, I just chortled. I go, they don't drink Diet Coke. What do you mean he's going to be betting on the NFL? $10,000. So the whole premise of the article, and it's long, and I'm not saying there's not anything good in it. I'm just saying it's very contrived, as if he's saying, and I found myself huddling into my pantry away from my family, putting in parlays on DraftKings. And I started to wonder, as I got mad about results, what kind of monster I had become. I'm like, get out of here. The biggest thing, Mr. X, is when you don't, when you're not at risk of losing $10,000, what are you specifically not doing at that moment? Gambling.
No.
You're not gambling.
It's like playing.
The whole point of the article is, I gambled on the NFL for you. The fuck you did.
Yeah.
You didn't do shit.
Gambling implies that you could lose the money.
Zach.
You ever played poker? We used to do this with my kids. You know, when you play poker with your family, which everybody does, without money, you're not
what are you doing?
Playing poker.
No, you're playing cards.
It's yeah. boring
playing funsy cards.
Yeah.
Anyway, the article begins by saying that gambling has been outlawed or heavily regulated, or generally discouraged since 1631. Puritans banned games of chance in Plymouth Colony under pain of punishment. In Pennsylvania in 1794, a law prohibited cockfighting, cards, dice, billiards, bowling, shuffleboard, horse racing, or any other type of gambling. He goes on to say that laws vary by state and century, but the practices always come with a healthy social stigma. George Washington went as far as to say that gambling is every possible evil could be tied to it. It is the result of the avarice, the brother of inequity, and the father of mischief.
Lighten up, George,
is what you say. Okay, so he goes through the article, and he starts out by admitting, I don't know how to gamble, but let me go talk to a guy who does. Nate Silver, the former political data guy who correctly predicted all 50 states in the 2012 election. Now, Nate Silver is a guy who has gotten out of the political game, he says, because he was too stressed by it. It was not fulfilling. Also, for the record, his predictions in 2016 and 2020 sucked. So there's that as well. He kind of lost his cachet misjudging the electorate, but whatever. So he's now focusing, Nate Silver, on sports gambling, baseball in particular, Mr. X. And that's an area that you have, I would say, a good acumen for. Maybe your best acumen for baseball.
I don't have any other acumen.
Okay. So Nate Silver basically said, look, you'll be lucky to make any money whatsoever on betting the NFL because the games are too even, the lines are too sharp, and once you demonstrate that you're an advantage player, all the outlets, online and casinos, start to shut you down.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The floor is yours.
Well, how did he do?
He sucked. He was throwing in dumb parlays. He was doing prop bets that made no sense. He was kind of around break even after gambling about $16,000 through the course of the season. And then at the end of the year, he's like, okay, I'm going to make it up on a two-team parlay.
Gosh, you're always
a two-team money line parlay.
Oh, sure.
Ship's about to come in.
Yeah, which was like the Patriots over the Broncos.
It's not even his money, and he's chasing the losses.
Right. And then, you know, once he lost that, he said, okay, one big swing on the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And he took the Patriots, admitting that it's his favorite team from growing up.
Oh, that's always good.
Smart.
Yeah. Can't argue.
And he
with
lost
that.
His ass on that. So he didn't lose his ass. He lost about $7,000 of the Atlantic's money.
So was it zeroed out at the end of the year? Was it?
He didn't pay a dime. They said if he had won money, they would have split the profit between him and the paper. So it gave him an incentive.
Paper needed
to be
that.
Well. It gave him an incentive to be engaged, right? Well, if you weren't going to win or lose, then you're not really giving it any oomph. But I'm telling you, Mr. X, because you're not riding the white lightning of fear of losing a big bet, you're not even gambling.
There's so many things there that I won't get into. But when you have no downside but only an upside. Sure, let's go. Let's 2, 3, 4-team parlay. You know, if I was betting without an ability to lose, oh, yeah, let's be silly aggressive.
Sure.
Benchmark does that give us? Does that anything close to real life? No, nothing about that is accurate. But he should have spent a solid year in advance studying to get ready, kind of like you.
Like a play caller,
yeah.
Yeah, well, sure, there you go. Be methodical about it. Silver suggested to guard against emotional betting, that he should on Tuesday mornings during the NFL season sit in a quiet place, study the lines for that week's games, gather information on injury reports and weather forecasts, and then place $100 bets on the 6 or 7 games he liked best. This is the biggest piece of dog shit bad advice for betting the NFL I've ever seen, and disqualifies Nate Silver from ever talking about it again.
It does.
You dipshit. Weather on a Tuesday. You're going to assess the weather forecast on a Tuesday. Injury report on a Tuesday. Players aren't even in for treatment on Tuesday. They go in Monday. Tuesday's their off fucking day. You don't even have any information then. And the lines could move in a way that screws you based on later information.
This is, that is a 15-year-old. I mean, if you told me this was 2011, I get that. Everything you named, an injury or weather or this or that, it's already in that number. It's sure. already in that line. It's right. not like you're the only one who knows that. You know, don't even start with that.
You know, another point here, I'd really be interested in kind of a follow-up, because this is a, you know, anybody who's ever gambled for an extended period of time will tell you that there is a level of, with all due respect.
Which means there's no respect there's, coming.
There's,
no.
A, there's a level of addiction involved. I'm Once sure. you start yes. doing it, you get into it, you know, and you're sneaking around. Like this guy says, he's kind of sneaking around and like. I'd be curious to see, even if the Atlantic isn't fronting the money, I'd be curious to see if he's laying down any bets next fall.
Well, the funny thing is,
you do get, you.
Hey, now that I've lost with their money, I'd rather lose with my money.
I've already proven I suck.
The article talked about how he went to talk to Craig Carton of The Fan, who had gone to jail for fraud because he was scamming ticket buyers out of this, you know, luxury ticket package service for sports into paying his gambling debts. And Carton put himself on a state self-exclusion list. Did you know these existed? You can contact your state's attorney general and say, I need the paperwork to be put on a self-exclusion list where any gambling operator in the state is prohibited from allowing you to bet.
I did not know that.
And he's pushing for a national one of those, so you don't have to keep
doing
it.
It's like a do-not-call list.
Yeah, it's like a do-not-call list. Like, don't take my parlay list, basically.
That's really interesting.
I had no idea that existed.
Yeah.
You know, where you're like, I don't trust myself.
Yeah,
put me on the list.
Yeah.
Chris's point about the addiction, obviously, is the biggest thing to make sure you are smart and aware of. And I know it's old news day, but you know how many times we've talked over the years, ever since I started the site, that is like the biggest thing I preach. I know you don't follow that. The biggest thing I preach is, if that's what you're going to do, don't follow my site. If you can't be objective and if you can't make it a business and you can't keep your emotion out of it, then I shouldn't be talking.
Yeah.
I can't, don't listen to me if I have any of that in my nature.
Well, also, I guess begs the question, how long is that permission from the priest good for? Do you have to go back and get that renewed?
If you don't go back, he can't change his mind.
Father Flanagan said it was just fine.
The author did talk
There's
about...
There's a reason he's not here anymore.
The author did talk about how it changes you emotionally sometimes when you're betting on games, when things happen like the Cardinals-Titans game from this year, in which you remember running back Amari DiMarcado fumbling at the goal line.
Oh, yeah.
A 72-yard touchdown run. The author claims to have had the Cardinals minus 7.5, and they're cruising up 21-6, about to be 28-6. Yes. And DiMarcado fumbles. The Titans come back all the way to not just cover, but win the game outright. And he said he was infuriated with the guy afterwards for being such a lazy dum-dum. And that his answers after the game was, yeah, just got to be better. Made him even more mad. And I'm like, good, now you're getting it. Now you're becoming a gambler. But these are the things, Mr. X, that happen.
And you laugh at me when I said this one time on your show.
I think it was more of a scoff than a laugh.
Oh, no, it was a full laugh.
Okay.
It was a big belly laugh.
Okay.
That's why I don't watch or need to watch the games live. I want all that emotion out. I mean, I watch my teams and for fun, and I watch. It's obviously on all day. But then
You watch games live. Don't
I
lie.
Do,
and you're going to watch games live next week at Vegas.
Oh, I know. I watch them live. But look, for example, if the good game that's of the week, I haven't bet on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch the game I bet on because I bet on it. I still watch, you know, the best.
But
game.
if it's a large bet, you'll.
Oh, watch. That's a different game. Yeah. But I watch every game over during the week for analytical.
Sure,
but
sure,
I
sure,
want
sure.
the emotion out of there because I can't live and die off every bad call and fumble
with
my own.
Do you stay away from your favorite teams? Are you inclined?
That's a really good question.
Are you disinclined to?
That's a great question. I want to. Because okay. I try
and you
to.
You just answered it.
No, okay. Because there's also something to be said for who do you know better. And for years, it's like, I would stay away. But if you follow them closer, you should be better for or against. Now, do I bet on my favorite team? No. If you're doing that, you're stupid.
Yeah, no question.
But when you want to be against your favorite, that's when you should pay attention.
Yeah. Mr. X has said many a time he is a better teacher than he is a
student. Oh, yeah.
That he has his rules, very ironclad rules.
Which you
don't
should
do
never
this.
Break unless
don't
you
do
break
that.
Them.
But he often breaks them.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go.
That's right.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Exactly.
Regarding the, from the athlete standpoint, they're getting the brunt end of gambler's rage via social media, direct messages, et cetera. After Gael Monfils lost in the first round of the Stuttgart Open last year, apparently tennis is the most wagered sport globally.
Oh, come on.
In dollars. Yes.
I wouldn't have put it in the top 40.
Apparently, Russians... Indians, like, that's where the money comes because it's an individual sport. It's also prone to the most wild corruption.
It's the easiest, one to throw because you only got to get one guy
exactly.
On the payroll.
After Gael Monfils lost in the first round of the Stuttgart Open, he posted a, quote, special message on Instagram for all the gamblers filling his DMs with racial insults. Oh. Quote, really? You're still betting on me? He said... He was 38 at the time, one of the oldest players on tour. You're still betting on me? You write that I'm shit? I know I'm shit. We both know I'm shit.
Oh, man. So how do you feel about, you know, the thing about the vitriol that is sent to people like Monfils? So college basketball players will tell you. Now, of course, this is a big deal in college sports where people, you can manipulate the prop bets. You know, individual players.
Big time.
And that's where all these guys have been popped, have been arrested because you know, gamblers were wagering on their production, that their individual production. So there is a move afoot. The NCAA would love to ban prop betting in college basketball.
We've talked about that.
And so college basketball players will tell you that like they get a shit all the time from people online about how could you only get 8 points in the first half of that game? Yeah. You know, and that number was, what, 11 or whatever?
I think if you're an athlete, you just literally have to log off and don't have any social media or don't keep your DMs open.
Well, yeah, I would say now, I'm not good at social media stuff, but it's not hard to find each guy's account.
Right.
You can get to them. You shouldn't be able to.
Right.
But people find them.
People find them.
They're not hard to find when you've lost a grand because Amari Dicardo drops the ball to one.
You tell them, a 21-year-old, to drop all your social media. That's the answer. Just drop all your social media. That's pretty realistic.
And then quit drinking.
Yeah.
So I was listening to the last, I think it was the last time I was on with you here, and you were talking about Class A, the...
Yes.
Guardians reliever who was betting on himself, or his friends were betting on himself to throw the first pitch of ball. I'm not throwing a game. I'm throwing one pitch for a ball. And when I heard us talking about that later, I thought, I want to know when he's doing that because I'm getting the batter in my pocket to swing at it no matter where it is.
How would you do that? Bribe the batter?
I don't know. How did you get? Yeah. I'm saying whoever can get Class A, the other guy can get them because no matter where you throw it, I can swing.
I think it's too much work. I think once you know he's going to waste a pitch, just bet tail him. Just jump on his side of the bet.
It'd be more fun to be on the
pretty connected. That's like the whole Jordan story about betting $10,000 that his bag was going to come up first on the baggage. Yeah.
When he already paid
the baggage guy
$5,000.
That was work.
Make sure my bag comes out first.
Yep.
So here's the next level to this. And we're going to be out there next week for Zabe Vegas. I'm excited for it. Naki is threatening to come if Virginia does not make the Sweet 16. We'd love to have you, Chris.
No, for the record, I don't want to see you.
Okay, well, I figure I'm a winner either way.
Yeah, because if UVA makes the Sweet 16, your daughter is the head of basketball operations. They're going somewhere. You're going to be with her,
Chicago,
with the program, which is great. Mr. X, you went to Virginia, so you guys are wahoos.
7 great years.
Brotherhoods, yes, exactly. But we'd love to have you. All right, so here's the deal. Once you're out in Vegas, get this. This is what the article in The Atlantic said. When a gambler starts to win too consistently, the books will place limits on how much they can bet. A true sharp will effectively be banned by every sports book in the country before too long, not just online, where they have very easy to do algorithms and computer to analyze your play and to IP address you and to geofence you. I mean, they can zap you easily online. In person, though, at the books, it's a little harder. They do have cameras and facial recognition,
so that if you walk into a book and you're a sharp Mr. X and you've got a duffel bag, trust me, the cameras see your face. It lights up in the sports book. And by the time you get to the window, they're like, yes, sir, we're not going to take your wage.
We're closed.
So the
fake nose and mustache.
It used to be getting four guys with those bags of money all timing it to get to the window at the same time before they could make the adjustment.
Figure out what's going on.
Yeah, you can only do so much. And once the first one goes, the number changes. So you have to time it all. But I think, and this is not something I'm going to pretend I know, but I think the online new legal shops cut people off all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Because they just don't care.
Yes.
Whereas
many of them, not mybookie.com, by the way, the official sports book of this podcast, and you should definitely wager there.
Whereas the books in Vegas, they know who the sharp guys are. They don't care. They're not going to not take your action. They use that information. They want to know who the sharp guys
are taking,
so they can make adjustments, and it's worth their value to get that
to a certain exposure. Yeah. They may not want more exposure from a known sharp. This is what the writer...
They'll set my limit, but they want to know who I'm taking.
Well, of course. But here's what they say. Here's what the writer of The Atlantic says. He said, once that happens, the game of cat and mouse ensues. The sharp might hire someone else to place bets on his behalf. Mm-hmm. On any given day, the Vegas Strip is teeming with runners who carry backpacks stuffed with $100 bills. But this strategy has its own risks. First risk being your runner runs off with your money.
Absolutely. He's called a runner for a reason.
Betting in another person's name violates the terms of most sports books, and depending on how the transaction is executed, it could even be considered fraud.
How are you betting in a name? You're walking up to the window, you hand them cash. They don't ask your name.
Mr. X, I'm just telling you what the story is saying. It sounds crazy to me, but knowing how casinos are allowed to simply say, your action's too strong for us, sir, here's a ticket to the buffet, they can do that. You have no legal right to gamble in their establishment. So I wouldn't be shocked if this was the rules that were written in Vegas to protect the casinos.
Yeah. You wouldn't even get a ticket to the buffet at that point.
No, exactly. To avoid detection, writes Coppins, some sharps will prime their accounts, placing scattershot bets to make it look like they're reckless gambling addicts, and then prompt the sports books to increase their limits before they then move in for the kill with a big dollar sharp money play.
That is serious effort.
That is crazy, isn't it? Yeah. Although the tactics are always evolving, one element of the sportsbook business model remains constant: to take as many bets as possible from bad gamblers and as few of them,
there are plenty out there,
from good gamblers.
A high-level stake game of whack-a-mole is what it is, you know? Sure. Just
any thoughts on that, Mr. X? The priming accounts, have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, there's a reason that offshore books still have a value, you know.
Yeah, because you got to find the best line of it. And you got to be methodical, you got to be disciplined, and you have to accept the fact it won't. Once you're in it to make money, it'll no longer be fun. In any way, shape, or form, it'll be a job, it'll be tedious, it'll be nerve-wracking. Good luck.
Yeah, the only part of that I struggle with is, oh, so I'm going to lose a few to tilt my algorithm. And then you end up winning those by, you know, it's not that easy.
Then you try
picking
to lose.
Picking a loser is as hard as picking a winner.
That's what I have heard. Not as easy as it seems. Okay. Anything left before we're done today? Can we get a thought on the WBC? I've liked it. The call that went against the Dominican to end the game was pure dog shit.
Yeah, it was a tough one.
I love the event.
I think it's
awesome.
Cool.
It's awesome, yeah.
It's baseball. It's all, you know.
And your guy whining about the broken finger.
Yeah.
You know, these guys clearly love playing in this event.
Like, Dominican.
Not everyone. Because there's two arguments now in the thread. One is about injuries, and the other one is about Scooble not wanting to pitch again because he's waiting for his $400 million deal. From the Tigers.
That's Boras telling him, you're not going.
Well, and trust me, one of the guys on our string, Wolfie, is adamant. He's like, fuck that guy. I wouldn't want him on my team. I go, you're a Brewer fan. You would take him on your team.
He's like,
I would still boo him. Like, you got to play for your country. Be a man. Don't be a pussy. Go out there and play.
That's his stance on that. So there's kind of two controversies. I love the spirit. I love the vibe. A lot of people are saying that the crowds are better because it's not corporatized like the World Series. Crowds tend to be corporatized because the money to get a World Series ticket is so expensive, especially if you're the Yankees. I mean, talk about a corporate crowd, right?
Oh, yeah. And I love the part about the crowd in these events because, like, when the DR plays, it's a party.
Oh, the instruments, the drums,
yeah.
The hoodinkers and the kuklunkers and the vuvuzelas.
It obviously shows you, I'm sorry, I'm going to call it cultural or something, because every guy in that Dominican lineup, you look at and go, yeah, he's a character.
Yeah.
They're all having a blast.
Yep.
And it's not for this. I mean, they all are like that all the time.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it.
Last thing before we're done here, come on down to the Palm in Tyson's Corner for a power lunch of your own. Affordable, delicious, and I believe we are all quite happy and satisfied.
Oh, man.
The gargantuan bracket is out yet again, and I got to give credit to my guy, Alex Keppel, who has picked up the torch from Brad Turner, also a Wahoo.
What's wrong with Brad? Why is he, what did he quit
for? He was
for?
Too busy trying to do other stuff. But basically, there are brackets out there that have a lot of the key information. There's only one, though, that has every bit of information. Sure, is it tiny, teeny print? Of course. You'll need to zoom in. You'll need to download it, print it out. You can make it a poster on your wall if you want. But every tip time, every announcer, all the KenPom ratings, the record in conference, the seeding, the point spreads, what channel it's on. We got the odds for the tournament. We even have the lyrics that I made up for the theme song. Come on and watch some basketball. You can recite them right there. The Gargantua Bracket is free, available. Check my Twitter feed at Zabe and download and enjoy.
I got to get that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And you'll need some stronger glasses.
And the big paper.
Right? Yeah, no question. Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to ask Chris, what's the best game that you're looking at for fun
first,
to watch?
First round.
Please say the one I'm thinking.
I'm going to go Villanova, Utah State.
There's 32 of them. How would you know?
I
wrote that as the last.
I root for terrible things to happen to Villanova.
Okay.
So yes, that's because of Willard.
I think there are a lot of really good games. You know, I've become, because I'm used to it now, I'm a Big Ten convert all of a sudden. You know, I was with the ACC forever and a day. Like Wisconsin, I root hard for Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan.
You know how much that hurts some people's hearts.
Come on, man.
You know that.
Move on.
Move on. The dogs have barked and the caravan has left the building.
Halfway to Fort Hayes.
fighting a losing battle.
I think my favorite match in the first round is St. Mary's and A&M. Two most opposite games. St. Mary's can play half-court defense, and when they score, they're going to stop you. But when A&M scores and they do 90 minutes or 90 feet of in-your-face, when they score, they're likely to score again. And it sounds silly, but it's like every bucket is multiplied. I just think it'll be interesting contrast.
Yeah, you know, I think that league, the West Coast Conference, it's an interesting year for them. Santa Clara had a great year. Yeah. And of course Gonzaga, gets in as a 3 seed. So they have 3 teams in the tournament. It's a good year for that conference.
I'm intrigued by the 7-10 UCLA UCF because UCF can win that game and Mick Cronin's head will explode. Yeah.
Like he's got two critical injuries. UCLA does.
Yeah, so he will lose.
Not coming back.
He will lose his mind if he loses and loses badly. Also, I'm keyed in on this Nebraska Troy game.
Oh, what 4-13 Nebraska in a 4-13 mismatch?
Because they've never won a game in the tournament.
If they lose this.
They lose this. It's like, when are you ever going to win a game?
Maryland played in Lincoln like a month ago, and they were rolling. They were like 10-1 and kicking everybody's ass, and they have had a great year. And that's all anybody wanted to talk about was maybe we can win a tournament game this year.
Maybe we can. And they've never been so heavily favored in round one. The pressure on them to not blow this.
They'll be fine. He coaches them up, man. He's a very good coach.
This is
mayor.
Not a. I'm sorry.
The mayor, Fred Hoiberg.
This is not a year to pick, you know, the sleeper because they're all going to get destroyed, I think.
Maybe.
But, well, obviously not all going to, but it looks like they're all going to. There's no live, you know, double-digit seed, I don't think. But if you have to pick one, who do you got?
Well, I mean, I like VCU to beat North Carolina the first round. But aside from that, there was not a double-digit seed that popped out at me at all. I think the college basketball is top-heavy. I think it has been all year long. Michigan, Arizona, Duke. I just think that
it just
UConn,
is.
Yeah,
I just concentrated talent at the top.
You know what I think that is? Is it used to be you'd get these, I call them double-digit seeds, and it was always some team with great chemistry, a whole bunch of seniors making this last run. No team has chemistry. They're all there for a year and gone. So you don't get that team with four seniors in the lineup, and they've been playing together 4 years. And if they're any good, they've already moved up a level to a bigger program.
Yeah.
So they're all in the same boat now. It doesn't matter if you're Oral Roberts. If you get Max A. Smith, he's going to leave.
Yeah.
So you don't get that low digit.
That's where we are everywhere, though. You probably saw the stat. How many Power Five seniors have been in there with their program for 4 years?
Yeah, for senior night, there was one in the SEC.
One in the SEC.
There's no Ed O'Bannons anywhere.
Well, so Northwestern played. They beat Indiana, right? And then they end up losing the next game. I forget to whom, but Northwestern has a kid who's been there 4 years, scored 2,000 points.
Yeah, and he started as a walk-on, and he was hugging and crying the coach.
And
yeah.
Everybody in the whole crowd, all the rest of the Big Ten fans stood up for this kid because he had been there 4 years. And, you know, and now you recognize it, right, when you see a guy who's actually been there for a while.
You know what the guy who played there 4 years is?
Nick Martinelli.
Nick Martinelli.
Underpaid. Nick Martinelli was the kid, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's a great ended up being a great player for them.
Yeah,
I looked at I think I'm finished. I think the only one I could draw a circle around to this point is High Point.
High Point sucks.
Why?
Wisconsin's going to kill
because them. They do play Wisconsin. Well,
Wisconsin got stung as a 5-12 against JMU. JMU was much better two years ago.
Yeah,
and I don't think that guard will have his guys ready for this.
Well,
game.
The way you pull it when you're a big underdog is you got that one shooter like that Oakland kid a few years ago.
Yeah,
I forgot his name.
Who knocked Kentucky out?
They have one of those guys, Chase Johnston.
And they have him. Did you see his stats? He took two shots inside
four.
The arc this year.
No, four. He was 0 for 4 from two. And
how,
was
how
like
does that
six,
happen?
He was like 65 for 102 from
did
three.
Did you ever steal the ball this year and get a layup? Did you ever? I get it that once a set offense. How do you never get a layup all year?
The 4-2s were because his foot was on the line.
Okay.
They weren't even on purpose.
And he asked him to review it.
Right. He's like, come on.
Think
man.
You could how do you run a great shoot? Play and get the guy a backdoor cut because everybody's covering him out of the 3-point line.
You would think.
I could cover that. Well, no, I can't. But I can call plays.
CallMeMrX.com is your website. Naki, the DC Coaches Podcast, apt its final episode of the year. You, Coach Williams.
Gordon Austin, friend. We've had a bunch of coaches on this year, but Jimmy Patsos and I mentioned Gordon Austin. We had a good crew. Eddie Tapp's got
you. Nice.
Tapp. Yeah,
yes.
So we had a good crew, and we had a bunch of good coaches on this year. It was a fun year.
All right. So, search for it wherever you get your podcast.
Season number 9 in the books.
All right. Knock on wood that about a week from now, Naki is out there in Vegas with us. Mr. X, you and I will be there. Armin's going to be there. Charge is going to be there. Great time. So come on and watch some basketball. Thanks to the Palm for having us for lunch. Have a great day, and we will see you next time on the Zane.
So what happens now? Is the food free, or do we pay someone?
Of course not. They send you a bill.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.